I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode here at Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Mark Middlestead, along with David, the Super Millennial. This week, our topic is Perfect Imperfection. And on today's Tuesday's episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast, David and I are going to discuss, when is perfection achieved? Is there anything you want to add, David, before we get started here?
No, I'm excited that we get to do it this week. It's always fun when me and you get to take over the podcast. Bill's getting closer and closer to competition time, so... He gave us the opportunity to, take over. So anytime he says that, I immediately say yes. So I'm excited for what this week brings.
All right. So let's get started here. If we're seeking perfection, when do we know we've achieved it? To what or whose standard is perfection? How do we even know what perfection looks like? The dictionary definition can't even settle on it. According to the dictionary, perfection means the condition, state, or quality of being free, or as free as possible, from all flaws or defects, or the action or process of improving something until it is faultless, or as faultless as possible. Now, did you happen to notice that in both definitions, it couldn't quite endorse perfection as something that can really be attained, and it threw in a built-in excuse, even in the definition itself? One added, as free as possible from all flaws or defects, and the other added, as faultless as possible. So it's interesting that the definition itself acknowledges that perfection is unattainable. The first definition could have just said the condition, state, or quality of being free from all flaws and defects. And the second could have stopped short as well and just said the action or process of improving something until it is faultless. Yet both added the words as possible. What do you think that is, David?
Well, I think that, to me, it was funny when I was looking up the definitions that there is no perfect definition for perfection. And that right there, I was like, yep, it's going to be a good week. Because I think for that, it gives you room for interpretation, whoever's interpreting it.
Yeah. I mean, they don't outright admit that it might not be possible to achieve it right in the very definition itself. It's kind of interesting that when we talk about perfection or think about perfection, that it's still this sort of obtuse, weird thing that we can't really get a grip on, yet we're so hung up on it. Do you think it's possible to achieve perfection?
I think by the actual standard of everything being completely flawless, no. And I think that's exactly why that definition's like that.
Yeah. And you know, really, to whose standard? Mm-hmm. We all look at life different. So, I mean, okay, you might think something's perfect and somebody's going to come along and say, well, I don't think it is. And so there, now you've got these two different ideas. So, you know, what is it? And I'm sure you can relate to this, David, because, you know, you're an artist too. And you even addressed it on your Monday podcast about not waiting for something to be perfect before we start something, which is awesome, because that's just so common.
Yeah.
You know? You know, as an artist, when I first started out, I remember working on the same drawing or painting over and over again, attempting to get it just right. And no matter how hard I tried, it was never perfect. I spent years trying to create that perfect masterpiece. Well, here I am 45 years later, and I still haven't produced a perfect drawing or painting. And, you know, I learned a long time ago to give up trying to create the perfect work of art. I only wanted to give it my best attempt and then let it be what it was and then just try again on the next one. It wasn't until many years later that I realized that every single piece of artwork I produced was perfect in its own unique way, even with its perceived flaws. As a musician, I was caught in the same trap, practicing and practicing over and over again until I could play something to perfection. And I may very well have done so, only to perform it live and screw up some part of it anyway, making it, of course, imperfect. I would learn songs and even an entire playlist for the evening until I felt it was as close to perfection as possible. And then we'd all rehearse together as a band and stop and go over parts that needed work because we weren't playing them perfect. And we'd go over them until we pretty much did. And then, of course, we'd go out on a gig and we'd screw something up when performing it live. And I made notice of it and mentioned to other members of the band that, you know, did you ever notice that whenever we'd have a perfect rehearsal, it was like just wasted on ourselves because we'd inevitably get to the gig and screw some of it up anyway. Even when I wrote my book, The Alchemy of Purpose, I spent 5 years writing it until I thought it was perfect. And then my editors came along and picked it all apart and offered different ideas about it. And I found myself completely rewriting the entire book from beginning to end. And then, voila, now it was perfect. Until my editors went through it many times over again, correcting the mistakes, the flaws, and once again I had to edit it until it was deemed perfect. Even after publishing it and rereading it, there were many parts of it I found to be less than perfect. And it wasn't so much any grammatical or spelling, you know, areas, but I found myself wishing I had written things differently. So even after all that time and all that work, the book was still hardly perfect. And you're an artist, David, so how have you treated your work over the years as it pertains to perfection?
Well, that was something, your story is so similar to a lot of the experiences I had, especially with almost like casual drawings and stuff like that. My dad used to get real mad at me because he would buy notebooks for school and I would draw one. And the moment I made a little mistake, I flipped to the next page and restart the same thing, because even erasing it, I knew there was an imperfection, or you could see a faint line of my pencil or something. Like, to everyone else, they're like, where did you mess up? I'm like, you seriously don't see this? And it used to bother me so much until I started to learn, like, just finish it and see if I like it, you know? And sometimes it is things that you want to work on because it is enough to be noticeable. But sometimes those mistakes make it. What was it that Bob Ross said? There's no mistakes, only happy accidents.
Happy accidents.
And I love that because, you know, Bill and I, we're very similar to the way that you were talking about doing a gig. We rehearse this at the house and the office so many times. We get it perfect. The timing's right. Everything goes smooth. And somehow I'll send him the wrong presentation. And we get up there and everything's just a mess. And it goes so well that we come back home and we're like, that's the presentation we need to do. And we find that one's the perfect one for us. And the other one was actually mistakes that we didn't see, you know? So it's interesting how it works out.
Yeah, definitely happy accidents. Life, isn't that life? Yeah. It's all happy accidents, man. Yeah. Well, you know, I think that the only way we can even think of perfection is by comparing it to what we think is imperfection. I'll bet that even as Bill is getting ready for his competition, he's scrutinizing every muscle, seeing if it meets his idea of perfection or not, so he can work on that area until he's satisfied with it. But do you think he's ever satisfied with whatever area he's working on? Do you ever think he thinks any area is perfect?
No, I definitely don't. You know, that's the reason why this book has been rewritten so many times as well. You know, he's in the same boat as you. Everybody was expecting this book years ago when we started, and it's been rewritten and rewritten and rewritten because there's always something to be done or said that wasn't in the first go around. So I know for sure he's always striving for that, you know, best possible.
Sure. And, you know, what I find interesting, especially, you know, writing, like writing a book or painting or music or anything you do, it's like, it can be so, like, perfect in the moment, And then in hindsight, the time that passes between when you think you've finished it and the things you might have learned along the way before it ever gets published, before mm-hmm. anybody else really sees it, makes you realize that, oh, I need to add something more to it. Or that part I had in there, I've got a much better way to get that point across. So then you go back and you re-edit it. And then things can get to be sort of a jumble. You read through it and you're going, what was I thinking? I don't even know what this is supposed to mean. So you got to go through and edit it again. It's just, and I think everything in life is like that. Mm-hmm. You just, you know, as you learn and grow, what was once even thought of as perfect is no longer perfect, mm-hmm. even if it was, even if you thought it was at the time.
Yeah, and the amount of influences we have now, I think that's where I found myself doing a lot of stuff that I thought was perfect because that was popular or the trend or whatever it was supposed to be, and it wasn't my perfection, it was everyone else's. So I ended up not liking it, but to everyone around it was quote-unquote perfect, but to me it was just a throwaway piece because it wasn't me, it was what everyone else wanted. So there's that aspect too.
Yeah, and don't you find that anybody who's creative, that they're probably more critical of their own work than anybody else is?
Yeah.
They, like you said before, it's like, what's wrong with it? I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, I've been staring at it for a month.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was done too. And then I've been looking at it going, yeah, I need to change this.
Yeah, you hide it so you don't have to see it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I look at old artwork. Somebody says, oh, yeah, I have one of your paintings. I go, which one was it? You know, can you take a picture of it? You know, I mean, I did that like 20 years ago. Can you jog my memory? And they send me a photo and I'm like, oh, my God.
Like, bring it back. There's some things I want to fix.
Can you take it off your wall and throw it in your closet, please?
Yeah.
And, you know, and you'd address this too. And I'd say, you know, when I'm writing the scripts for my podcast, I keep editing them because I want what I have to say to be as meaningful as impactful to as many people as possible. And I always want my words to be the perfect way of expressing my thoughts. And, you know, and I want my ideas about the topic to come across well. And when I'm recording the podcast, I've stopped part of the way through, deleted it, and completely re-recorded it because something didn't come out the way I intended. It wasn't perfect. And then after a while, I realized that no matter how perfect I thought it might have been, listening to the playback, I hear all the flaws, the mispronunciations, clearing my throat, background noise that got picked up unintended. And now I just leave it as it is for the most part, because no matter how much I put into it, it's just not going to be perfect. So even if it met my idea of perfection, only a percentage of those listening to it would also think it was. So what is perfect anyway? And to whose standard does it have to meet if we're all seeing it differently? What do you think, David?
Yeah, that actually was, for me, on yesterday's episode, I recorded the entire thing, and I just didn't like it. And I recorded it again, and I put it out, and I said, you know, I'm not going to beat myself over it. I'm going to just go ahead and put it out. And I got, you know, emails and text messages, and like, oh, great episode of this and that. I'm like, in my head, I was so critical of it, you know. But yeah, when I put it out, the amount of people that are still getting that message. That's why I talked about trying to do it as best as possible. There's nothing wrong with trying, but there's a certain point where you just have to be happy with what you gave it, you know? And I think the fact mm-hmm. that so many people are going to have different views, and even if it is perfect to you, it's not going to be perfect to someone else. And that's where you also right. have to, you know, understand that different views.
Yeah, you know, that brings up a good point, because, you know, I think we all have standards we want to live up to, you know, and we also hold other people to these standards, you know, but do these standards have to be perfection? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can't really achieve perfection, now you've got varying standards. And to whose idea of it? Like, if I'm doing something for you and you're doing something for me, we're both going to have different ideas, different standards of perfection, you know, and what is that exactly? And so if the standards can't really be perfect, where do we draw the line? Where's the threshold where once we cross it, it may not be perfect, but it's good enough. And, you know, if we establish some standard that is good enough, then the question becomes, when is good enough good enough?
Mm-hmm. See, that was the point. When I was writing it, I thought about how well my episode came out. And even though I was critical of it, when I first started, this was a masterpiece compared to my beginning. So your perfect is always going to change and change and change to the level that you are to as well. But
sure,
it's the reason why there's so many different sodas in the store. Everyone put out their best soda. Their soda is perfect. But there's a certain reason why I don't like root beer, but people love it. You know, it's because everyone's going to have a different taste. Who's to say that all of them are wrong or all of them are right? It just becomes you in that time period, you know?
So in essence, perfection really is just another of life's illusions, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, there really is no such thing as perfect, which is why I thought, you know, perfect imperfection.
Yeah, I believe it was you in the community that talked about a dog chasing its tail. Yeah, that stuck with me and resonated so much because it seems stupid when you see a dog chasing its tail. What are you doing? To that dog, it means something. But if you ever going to get it, no. But you're going to keep on tiring yourself out until you realize that you're never going to get it. You just have to be happy with the process.
And even if you are fortunate enough to catch your own tail, mm-hmm. you catch it and you're going, why did I make such a big deal?
Yeah, I spent all this energy for that.
It's just my own tail. What the heck was I doing all this time? So, I think the real reason we seek perfection lies in fear and doubt. We certainly know that nothing we do will ever be perfect, but in the back of our mind, we're more concerned with what others will think. Mm-hmm. So no matter how good we think something is, we all have some doubt that someone is going to come along and criticize us and tell us that our idea of good enough is not good enough. You know, I think for as much as we might say, well, this is good enough, I think in the back of our mind, there's still this fear and doubt that someone's going to come along and criticize us in some way. And so we don't want that criticism. And so we keep working on it and working on it. But ultimately, it doesn't really do anything because I think we need to ask ourselves, why do we do what we do? Is it only to present ourselves in such a way that others will find us perfect? And at what point does this constant desire to achieve perfection control us and ultimately leave us unhappy no matter how much time and energy we put into something?
Yeah, and that goes back to the point where you start to kind of change yourself to appeal and be presentable for the rest of the crowd or the people who are going to judge you, that you stop doing it or stop enjoying the process and stop being your creative. I think that's when people become disconnected, when they don't enjoy their piece of art or even a podcast or a website when I put it out. You know, there's so many different things that people aren't going to like that I try to, you know, please everyone. And then I end up kind of driving myself crazy because I just realized that it's impossible. I have to make a million different websites in order to please everyone. And that's just not
the case. And you still won't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, all you can really do is do the best job you can, please yourself, and let the chips fall where they may. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just, you know, there is no pleasing everybody.
Yeah.
Somebody is always going to find fault with it. So, you know, I've long given up chasing perfection. It's not a real thing anyway. It's just another illusion. When I do these podcasts, there'll be the inevitable screw up, and I'll just leave it if it's not too big of a mistake. The only time I ever rewrite or re-record something, if it's a real glaring mistake that kind of interferes with the end product. And even then, I'm more concerned with the actual content. So long as the imperfection in my writing or my recording isn't interfering with the flow or giving the wrong idea, I'm more than likely to just leave it as is. You had mentioned it, in your podcast. You know, I recently did my 60th episode, which is nothing because you and Bill have surpassed over 1,200 episodes. And I'd bet that if we only posted our perfect podcast, like you said, we'd all be stuck at our first one.
Yeah, for sure. We'll still be recording it right now.
Yeah. And that's what I felt like with my artwork, and I even, when I used to teach art, I would tell people they'd look at this blank page and they'd have a pencil in their hand and they just weren't sure about it. And I'd go and I'd grab their hand and I'd just push it right into the paper.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And I said, don't worry about it. That's what erasers are for.
Yeah. And it's actually funny because I was a big pencil person. And to get over that, I started doing everything in pen. So there is no going back. There is only making it better or just accepting it as for what it was. And that allowed me to really push past it. Because even now, I kind of use the same concept. It's there. Go back later. Don't sit on it now and kind of figure and focus it. Because sometimes in that moment, especially when you start getting disconnected or you've been doing it for too long or you got a lot of stuff you need to complete, you just start to rush or just can't come up with anything. And that disconnect will really stop you and be a great excuse. I can't come up with that. Well, then don't do it. It's like, okay, yeah. And then you just never do it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are just really, we're all guilty of it to some degree, but I really think this idea of chasing perfection, just kind of, like you said, it makes people disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
They're disconnected from their heart. Now it's all in their head. It's just all in their head. It's a mind game. I liken it to like watching the Green Bay Packers, and Mason Crosby's missing all these field goals. It's like, hey, he's missing some field goals. Now, is it really getting in his head and not trusting and enjoying the process because he's overthinking it? And I think that's what we all tend to do. Some people more than others where, it's not perfect. They look in the mirror and they're criticizing themselves and they're thinking, well, if I walk out that door and I don't like the way I look, then somebody else is surely going to see that too, And so we end up kind of being almost frozen where we are afraid to make a move because we're just so unsure. Because it's not perfect. We have that fear of criticism.
Yeah, people feel like they're damned if they do or damned if they don't. And at that point, you're damned if you don't do anything. That's the real, issue that becomes there. And it's because the standard that's set that who set it, it's the standard that you picked to call perfect and the one that you think you have to strive for. But in reality, there is no real standard for, looks or weight or, certain piece of art, especially when it comes to art. Any form of art is just a bunch of mistakes that sound good or look good together.
I've thrown away so many awards I've won because, it's just one guy's opinion. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, oh, hey, I think yours is the best.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So I got 35 other people who prefer that guy's work to mine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at what point do you just say, I don't care what other people think. I'm just going to do my best and move on. That's all you can do is really do your best. That to me is perfect.
Yeah.
Imperfection.
For sure. 100%.
All right. So, before we wrap this up is what would you want everyone listening to understand about chasing perfection?
I think for me is to, there's nothing wrong with trying to strive for perfection. I think it's just when you get yourself stuck and not accepting what is perfect at that moment, you know, because you never know how good you could make something or how beautiful you create something until you get to that point. And there becomes that tipping point, you know, where it is your perfect, mm-hmm. but setting a standard that you want to try to achieve should be your own standard and not someone else's.
That's a great point. Set your own standard, try to live up to your own standards. And if you fall short, no big deal. Try mm-hmm. again next time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap this episode up and we'll get out of here then. So that's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in the planet. You can join us on this mission by clicking like, share, and subscribe. The links are right below the show notes. As always, until next time, stay inspired.